Then there was mines and booby traps, some civilian, some laid during our bug out west. Made a lot of sense back then. Just seed mile after mile and wait for Zach to blow himself up. Only problem is, mines don't work that way. They don't blow up a human body. They take off a leg or ankle or the family jewels. That's what they're designed for, not to kill people, but to wound them so the army will spend valuable resources keeping them alive and then send them home in a wheelchair so Ma and Pa's civilian can be reminded every time they see him that maybe supporting this war isn't such a good idea. But Zach has no home, no Ma and Pa's civilian. All conventional mines do is create a bunch of crippled ghouls that, if anything, just makes your job that much harder because you want them upright and easy to spot, not crawling around the weeds waiting to be stepped on like landmines themselves. You couldn't know where most mines were. A lot of the units that had set them during the retreat hadn't marked them correctly or had lost their coordinates or simply weren't alive anymore to tell you. And then you had all those stupid fucking LMO jobs, the punji stakes and the tripwired shotgun shells. I lost a buddy of mine that way in a Walmart in Rochester, New York. He was born in El Salvador but grew up in Cali. You ever heard of the Boyle Heights boys? They were these hardcore LA bangers who were deported back to El Salvador because they were technically illegal. My buddy was plopped there right before the war. He fought his way back up through Mexico, all during the worst days of the panic, all on foot with nothing but a machete. He didn't have any family left, no friends, just his adopted home. He loved this country so much. Reminded me of my grandpa, you know, the whole immigrant thing. And then to catch a 12-gauge in the face, probably set by a LMO who'd stopped breathing years before. Fucking mines and booby traps. And then you just had accidents. So many buildings had been weakened from the fighting. Throw in years of neglect and foot after foot of snow, whole roofs collapse. No warning, whole structures just tumbling down. I lost someone else like that. She had a contact, a feral running at her across an abandoned auto garage. She fired her weapon, that's all it took. I don't know how many pounds of ice and snow brought that roof down. We were close, you know? We never did anything about it. I guess we thought we would make it official. I guess we thought we would make it easier in case something happened to one of us.
He looks over at the bleachers, smiling at his wife.
Didn't work. And then there were site casualties, more than anything else combined. Sometimes we'd march into barricaded zones and find nothing but rat-gnawed skeletons. I'm talking about the zones that weren't overrun. The ones that fell to starvation or disease, or just feeling that tomorrow wasn't worth seeing. We once broke into a church in Kansas where it was clear the adults killed all the kids first. One guy in our platoon, an Amish guy, used to read all their suicide notes, commit them to memory, then give himself this little cut, just this tiny half-inch nick somewhere on his body so he would never forget. Crazy bastard was sliced from his neck to the bottom of his toes. When the LT found out about it, sectioned his ass right out of there. Most of the eight balls were later in the war. Not from the stress, though, you understand, but from the lack of it. We all knew it would be over soon, and I think a lot of people who've been holding it together for so long must have had that little voice that said, "Hey, buddy, it's cool now. You can let go." I knew this one guy, massive roidosaurus. He'd been a professional wrestler before the war. We were walking up the freeway near Pulaski, New York, when the wind picked up the scent of a jackknifed big rig. It had been loaded with bottles of perfume, nothing fancy, just cheap strip mall scent. He froze and started bawling like a kid, couldn't stop. He was this monster with a 2 grand body count, a guy who'd once picked up a G and used it as a club for hand-to-hand combat. 4 of us had to carry him out on a stretcher. We figured the perfume must have reminded him of someone. We never found out who.